You're back with Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. Remember when there was all that anti-French sentiment around the start of the war in Iraq?
I want to get to Washington right now. The refusal of France to support the U.S. in Iraq triggering a symbolic protest. Instead of offering French fries, some restaurants across the country are now calling them freedom fries.
Well, it was at about that time that geographer Thomas Huber read about the LaRue Creek Inn near Hotchkiss in western Colorado, run by a Frenchman and his wife. Huber and his wife decided to stay for a few days, thinking they could use the business.
We had just gotten to the North Fork Valley for the first time, really, in Hotchkiss, and woke up in the morning, and we were on the second floor, and they have this gigantic picture window that looks south. And I walked out into the hallway and looked out the window with kind of this sleep-dazed look in my eye, and I thought, where am I? I could be in Provence, because we had just been to Provence a year before, and there were landscapes that looked just like this. I could be in the North Fork Valley. And then I sort of said, wow, this is really a geographic coincidence that these two places, at least on the surface, look so much alike.
Now, it's one thing to have that thought and then go about your day. It's another thing to say, and now I'm going to write a book about it.
That's true.
This book you wrote is called An American Provence. And you start and end the book with the same quote from the French author Marcel Proust.
Exactly.
What's the quote?
The voyage of discovery is not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes.
So it's not so much changing your physical place as your outlook on the physical place, I suppose. Is that what you found in this project?
Well, as a geographer, you sort of grow up looking at things and trying to figure things out. And so that morning when I went to the window, I saw this place that I had seen driving in with a new eye. My mind was clear, so I could look out and see the landscape. And all of a sudden, it was with new eyes that I thought, these two places are really quite the same. And I want to look at these places more as a geographer, as a professional geographer, and see if they really are as similar as I think they are.
Well, let's talk about the two regions you compare. So let's start with where you had the experience in the North Fork Valley.
Right.
This means the North Fork of the Gunnison River.
Exactly.
And we're talking about towns, you mentioned Hotchkiss, but also Crawford, Paonia, Cedar Edge.
Yes, they're all in the valley. And there's some tiny little places like Austin that are almost non-existent, but they're still in the valley, yes.
Austin.
Yes.
What charms you about the North Fork Valley?
The first thing that actually charmed me was driving in the very first time from Blue Mesa Reservoir to Crawford. You're going around the southern end of the West Elk Mountains, and it's such a different landscape than the dramatic mountains that you see, the grandeur of the high peaks. And the landscape is much more bucolic than many of the other landscapes in Colorado.
Like more rolling, would you say?
A little more rolling, but much more patchwork. Many of the places in Colorado, the high mountains, have uniform vegetation. You have aspen going for miles or spruce fir forest going for miles. Here you had little patches, looked like a quilt almost, of Gamble's oak during the fall when they turn red, along with the aspen, the golden aspen, and sumac, and just a real intricate landscape that's kind of different than most of Colorado is. And so that was the first thing that hit me as we were going in. And then you get to Crawford, which is a ranch community and hasn't been affected all that much by the new people coming into the valley, less than Hotchkiss or Paonia or Cedar Edge. The landscape starts out as being a ranch land, open grassland, hay fields. But now there's starting to be small little farms and little vineyards that are being produced by people who, most of them have moved into the valley and fact, I talk about one who doesn't want anyone else to move into the valley.
Yes, you always want to be the last.
You want to be the last person.
Shut the door behind you, please.
Exactly. Yeah. But it, I just started looking at it and saying, this place is really changing. And someone said to me that the North Fork Valley is where the millionaires are being pushed by the billionaires who live now in Aspen. So they're coming over McClure Pass into the North Fork Valley to have their piece of paradise rather than Aspen.
And so how is this part of Colorado like Provence in southeastern France? And we should describe Provence for folks who haven't been there.
The two valleys are extremely similar. They lie the same direction. They have the same aspect. They have the same relief. And when you get up on the hillsides in Provence and you look out over the Coulon Valley, which is the other river, you see the same patchwork. You see fruit trees. You see vineyards. You see farm implements. Both valleys are real working farm / ranch valleys. So it's not a glitzy place, although in the Coulon, some of the hill villages have become glitzy, but the villages down in the middle of the valley are really just agricultural towns.
Did you compare the wines? And let's say Provence is not a primary wine-growing area of France.
That's what people think. Actually, that's one of the first areas in France where wine was grown, because when the Romans came up, they started producing wines 2,000 years ago. They aren't the premier wines that people hear about, although the grapes are pretty much the same as the Côte du Rhône grapes. But there are a lot of vineyards that are small, family-run, and the wines taste a lot like the wines in the North Fork Valley, actually. Even though the grapes are slightly different, maybe it's in your mind, or maybe it's in my mind, because of what I think about the landscape and how these people are working the landscape.
We'll talk a little bit about the wines in the North Fork. Those are newer vineyards.
They're much newer. In fact, it was only in the late 1960s that there were many grapevines in Colorado that were used for wine because of the prohibition that killed the wine industry for decades. And most of that was in Palisades and over by Grand Junction and Clifton. The North Fork is actually very, very new. And it's people who really love wine, really are interested in experimentation. They want to produce something of really high quality. They're not into boxed wines. They're into high quality, good wines, and seeing what they can produce on small plots of land.
And this area is home, is it true, to the highest winery in the U.S.?
Terror Creek Winery, right outside of Peonia, is the highest winery in the U.S. And in fact, I think there's only one vineyard that's higher in the world, and that's in Argentina.
Any significance there to the taste or quality?
One of the quotes that I have in the book says, keep me poor and I'll keep you rich. And that's a reference to growing grapes on marginal land, because if you stress the grapes, they actually produce better wine. And so the more stressed the grapes are, of course, you can't take it too far. So having a high-altitude winery, you're pushing that stress to the limit.
You are, in some ways, raising the profile of the North Fork and of the Coulon in France by writing a book like this, and doing precisely what that one person asked you not to do, right?
Exactly.
Like, don't tell anyone else or make sure no one else moves here. Is it, in fact, a place you would like more Coloradans to see and be familiar with, the North Fork Valley, the Gunnison River?
I have a lot of sympathy for Mr. W., who's the person that said that to me, because I see, even in Colorado Springs, what's happened in Colorado Springs over the last 40 years. I first came there in 1965.
You teach, we should say, at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs.
Exactly. And I fear for them. in the sense that it's a beautiful place, it's a bucolic place, it's a place where people really care about the land. I think the one saving grace for the North Fork is there aren't any ski areas. Unlike Aspen and Vail and Telluride and Crested Butte.
The lack of something is a saving grace.
The lack of something is going to be the saving grace. The people that move there seem to be really intent on becoming of that place.
It's likely, or maybe more likely, that people in this country will have heard about Provence, that area of France. I imagine it's next to impossible that someone in Provence has heard of the North Fork Valley in Colorado.
My guess is there isn't a single person.
Yeah.
Who has.
Did you mention or discuss that region with those folks in France?
I did talk, well, through my wife, I talked to the people in France.
She's
about
the one who speaks French.
Why we were there. She's the one that speaks fluent French, not me. And they were very interested that there was this place and a place called Colorado that many of them didn't even know about. They know the states, they know the West, they know the Rocky Mountains, but they may not know the name Colorado even, although they actually use the term Colorado. There's a small little provincial park in this valley called Provençal Colorado, which is like the Garden of the Gods, Red Rocks. So they know the term, but they were very interested in my view of that this part of Provence was much like the west of the United States.
Well, I wonder if you might give us two photos, one in Provence, one in the North Fork Valley, that illustrate the similarities, and then we'll put it online.
I would be happy to.
Very good. Tom, thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you very much. This has been enjoyable.
Thomas Huber is a professor of geography at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. His new book is called An American Provence.